Today's episode of the Nate Land Podcast is brought to you by Game Time, Delete Me, ZocDoc, and AG1. Hello, folks, and hey, Bear. Welcome to the Nate Land Podcast. Nate, Brian Bates, Dusty Slay, and filling in for Aaron Weber is Joe Zimmerman. Aaron Weber had some come up kind of last minute.
He was fired for making a joke about me being fired from the podcast last week. It was so convincing that we had to go ahead and cut ties with it.
He's gone. He'll never be back.
I'm honored that you brought me in his place.
I feel like you're in Nate's shot, so I like that. You're kind of
Ari. Oh, we moved the camera.
I made things change already.
That is Joe.
I already made everybody switch it up.
Joe is someone that you just, when he's on, you just, stuff will change. Your routine will change.
Yeah, your routine.
You like mine.
Yeah.
Because you're just floating around.
I got, you know.
Like
I got
a guy that's lived on his own for a long time. I mean, Bates was a similar.
Yeah, he's a.
Difficult to be with because you guys don't have, you know, you're just used to your own time.
Nate tells me that a lot. He says, you're difficult to be with.
And like Bates.
You're a lot like Brian Bates.
You're a lot. No. It's, I enjoy having both of you.
He took you to Australia, so he must like you.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's a good sign.
That is a good sign.
That is a big trip for someone that you don't like.
Yes.
That'd be tough.
Yeah.
For so sure. It's a long one.
No, he had me carry all his bags. But it seemed cool.
Joe's special, The Cult Classic, is out on my YouTube channel, Nate Land Entertainment. Check that out. It's great.
Nate
got
directed.
Great response. I've directed it and
gave Nate a shot.
Gave a kid a shot. There you go. We have that coming out, and then we have the showcase, which should be out now. It came out yesterday, and we've got a lot going on, Nate Land. We're having a good announcement for it. Like, there's a lot of good plans. We're changing, I think, the Nate Land company. I believe I'm changing. I like that. Like, it's a feels like a staple.
Yeah, the Nate.
I mean,
company.
we're not a staple, but it just feels more what we are is, you know. A company.
Yeah,
that's what we are as a company.
Used to be entertainment, but now you're all business.
The
entertainment's gone.
Entertainment. We do entertainment in the company.
Is there a way to be an angel investor?
Just cash.
Cool.
Straight to me.
Great. What's the return?
He doesn't know what any of that means.
There is no return, Joe.
So I just give you cash.
Yeah.
I'm in.
Yeah,
I'm
invest. Interested. I mean, get in there.
I'm interested.
You know what I mean?
Take a chance, Joe.
I feel good about it.
Take a chance.
Keep the entertainment rolling.
So when we go through our business meet, I go, all right, don't forget I got Joe's $40. Just if anything comes up.
If he has any demands, listen to him because he's a top investor.
He's their only investor at $45.
Yeah. I would love to be the only angel investor for Nate Land Company.
What does it mean to be an angel investor?
All I know is that it's before a company goes public on the stock market, those super wealthy people can get in early, give some funding early, get in ground level. A lot of that happened in Silicon Valley.
I'm guessing you're focusing on the angel part.
Well, I just wonder what it means.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I get investor. I don't know why it's called angel investor.
They're like, I guess maybe you're like, before it's big, you're like, hey, I'll come in and help you out.
Yeah,
this is big.
It's like it's the hypothetical we're struggling, and then some big person comes in and is like, I'm going to give you $1 million.
I'm going to help you out.
Yeah.
When Aaron comes back, we'll Google it and find out. Next week, we'll find out.
I forgot
out,
I'm working the computer. Yes, I got it, though.
Oh, okay.
Can y'all see? Is he fine? Or do you need him to move or anything? Move back.
I can move. I was just trying to look at everybody.
Yeah. You can scoot the chair up and then just, Yeah.
All right, so I won't look at Brian.
You can try not to. You can do a little. Is that good? Move past that.
Says here they're wealthy private investors focused on financing small businesses, business ventures in exchange for equity. So it doesn't sound like much of an angel to me. It seems like they're wanting something out of it.
They get something.
They get a they get a good return when the company does well.
Yeah.
Big return. Right.
Let's hope Nate Land Company does good.
Will you go public eventually?
I just did. I just said it.
So just announced that's it. How you get on the stock market.
Yeah. Too late to be an angel investor then. Yeah. It's,
I declare bankruptcy.
What I want is a what I want is a Nate Land Company penny stock. That's what I want.
Okay.
No, that doesn't do anything for you?
I don't even know what that means. You give me a penny?
Yeah, I don't.
There's the whole penny stock market. Never mind.
Penny stocks refers to a small company stock that typically trades for less than $5 per share. Oh, well, still doesn't mean a lot to me.
Is that the thing they made money on Wolf of Wall Street in the TV show?
The TV show Wolf of
Wall Street? I mean the movie Wolf of Wall Street. Is that, didn't they do like the penny stocks?
They did, yeah. You can make a ton of money on penny stocks if you know what you're doing, which I don't.
Okay.
But yeah.
No. Right,
because they're tiny. They're you know, under
it's small.
Under $100 million companies.
Like paying the penny slots.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. We there's a lot of good stuff. A lot of fun stuff. I'm very excited about this stuff. We got this showcase has got three comics an episode. Dusty, Bates, and Aaron hosting two episodes each, six episodes, three comics an episode, very funny comics. You know, it's like TV clean material. So it's, you know, that's what we're,
now, what we're is it just for. One episode out so far?
One episode out.
Uh-huh. Is that the one that I'm in?
Yep.
All right.
I believe so.
Who is your favorite?
I'm saying this and I have not looked at anything.
Who is your favorite of the three hosts?
Huh? They all did great.
Maybe go to Nate Land Entertainment just up there. And
yeah.
Click on that.
Yeah, that thing says at Nate Land is the YouTube. So the that's videos. Good. At Nate Land. We'll change that to Nate Land Company. We're still in the mix of changing all that stuff.
Didn't look like it's out yet.
Just it's not. It comes out Tuesday. We're Monday.
Oh, okay.
I didn't know y'all were being this exact.
I thought you said on the last time it comes out October 1st.
I don't know. Okay. I think it comes out tomorrow.
Well, okay. I'm pumped for it.
All right.
So, which when people are listening, that's why you act like it's already out because it will be.
I got you.
I'm very excited about this one. As Joe's was great. You go watch Joe. Joe's is
doing very well.
It's doing very well. And Joe's looks great. Joe's is, you're the different one. That's why I like, it was very different than Mike and Greg.
Yeah.
And the Joe's very, very funny. I'm a big Joe fan. Obviously, I've taken him everywhere. So super fun to watch, super funny. And then we got the showcase, which is showing a bunch of different comics.
Oh, you can see where Dusty stopped watching. 26 minute mark.
Seem to be reading notes here during the special.
It's a little part of the skit.
Yeah. That's one of the better parts. That one's so funny.
26 minutes, folks.
Yeah. Yeah, no, but I mean, all the parts are funny, but that, I love that.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
The horoscope, evil horoscope.
Yeah, yes.
No, this is not my YouTube. I wouldn't pull up my YouTube.
Did you read an evil, do you know one?
Oh, that's true.
I think I can remember most of the evil horoscopes.
Do you know your horoscope?
I do know it, yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy. I would think you would not.
Well, I learned it, you know, before I woke up to Satanism.
So what, what is your
I feel like it's more fun to say it that way.
Yeah,
it's more fun to say it that way.
Yeah, yeah. You know your sign? What's your sign?
I'm a Taurus.
You share it with Hitler.
Oh.
Yeah. The whole bit is if somebody gives you a hard time about your horoscope, right? They say, you can remember an evil historical figure for all 12 horoscopes. And then you can call it out for them. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's very
so
good.
If you give me guff for being Scorpio, I can be like, oh, Taurus, that's a good one. Hitler's a Taurus. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then then I go through the crowd and ask people what their signs are.
Yeah, it's very fun.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, it's good.
Hitler, Bernie Madoff, and Saddam Hussein.
All right.
All Taurus.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot Dusty of power. Slay. A lot of power Slay. In a Taurus. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It is a lot of power.
Yeah.
Very authoritarian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's true. Known for being a bullheaded sign. Is he stubborn?
Yeah.
I would say so.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. If you got some of his beliefs, he's about the most stubborn you can be.
Classic Taurus.
Yeah, yeah, classic Taurus.
I didn't believe horoscopes, so right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they always can get you. If you start reading about them, you go, oh, I am like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What are you?
Scorpio. Oh,
Scorpio. Yeah.
Yes. More commonality.
Scorpio, we share.
Between the two of you guys.
I believe it's.
Are you Scorpio?
Yeah.
Known for being ambitious.
Mm-hmm, that's me.
Machiavellian.
Ooh. Oh, yeah.
And Charles Manson is a Scorpio.
Mm-hmm. That's tough.
Mm-hmm.
That's tough.
Well, that's how you look at it.
Very jealous. Does he get jealous?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's jealous of you right now knowing this stuff.
Mm-hmm. Classic Scorp.
Classic Scorpio. I'm Aries.
Aries, I believe, is... I'm not remembering Aries.
Oh.
It must be a good sign.
Yeah.
I believe Aries is Kim Jong-un's dad, but I'll have to double check.
Yeah, but he, you know.
Well, he was a great golfer, just like you.
Yeah, he has the...
Oh, world record.
World record. One in, every hole. They claims that too.
And he was really the every first hole. One, right? He started the whole... Not even start the country of North Korea, but he started this whole separatist thing, right?
Yeah.
I know. Yeah, I know that there's Kim Jong Un, his dad, and his grandpa were the main dudes.
Yeah. So the first one. Yeah, he's like, all right. And then the rest have just been kind of, you know, following in his footsteps. But he really was like, I'm gonna separate myself.
But I think he said,
I admire that about him.
I think he went out on a golf.
That's course. What we're trying to do with the Nate Land Company. Separate ourselves.
Yeah.
But have you heard the story of his golf score?
No.
He went out on a golf course with 11 security guards, his first time ever playing golf. And after 18 holes, he said he shot a 26, which is like 12 hole-in-ones and 6 twos.
Yeah.
And he's never played before. And the bodyguards are just like, yep, that's what he shot.
Yeah. He has 11 witnesses. For the score of 26.
Wow. Yeah.
What happened on the twos?
But my thinking is my thinking is he's so bad at golf, knows nothing about the sport, that he's like, what's a lie that sounds good? And he's like 26.
Oh yeah. He can't be hole in one.
He can't go 18.
Time. Yeah.
Yeah. He was probably tempted to say 18.
I bet he goes to his friends. It was an 18, but
yeah.
Right.
I don't want to brag.
I don't want to be obnoxious. Let's say 26.
26, which is about 32 strokes better than any other score in the history of golf.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
Maybe North Korea has the best lawns for it, though. Maybe it's mm-hmm. a good, you know what I mean?
You may be right.
How long are these courses, too? Do they even say the course?
You know, I wish I knew the course, but it was probably one of the first golf courses in North Korea, would be my guess.
Yeah. It'd be great if you had, and that record was, the course record was 18. Or 26.
I bet it's up there.
Yeah, it should be up there.
Yeah.
That would be, a lot of people want to play that course.
Yeah.
To go, I can't believe he shot a 26.
Yeah.
That's
hard to believe. 11 witnesses.
Yeah.
Should get that on the PGA.
Yeah.
Is that a tour?
They should do that course.
Yeah.
And he goes, let's see if y'all can do it.
Never, yeah, I don't think he ever played again either. I think he played once.
Well, it's, what's hard, the point of it?
Exactly.
Yeah.
To master the sport.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's the point? We had a fun weekend. This has been a couple weeks we've been out. I know I've missed a few, and Vecchione did good filling in, and we got Dusty back, and this month has been, yeah, he's gone. I got a lot of stuff this month. I'm home for I think about a day and a half, and then we head out. I go to we were in Boise this weekend, unreal show, Salt Lake City, where the Jazz play, and that was very special. A lot of people. I'm the for a stay at that arena, I'm the number one comedian.
All right.
Second all-time entertainment.
Two.
Garth Brooks.
Oh, wow. Come on.
That's bedtime. Yeah.
I calculated if I headlined 40 club weeks, if I headlined 40 club weeks, I would perform for 10,000 less people than those two nights.
Wow.
That's how many people it was. It was, yeah, it was like 10,000 people, 11,000 people, 8,000 people. It was crazy.
It was like, yeah.
That's amazing. Congratulations.
Thanks. It was, well, it's very, very nice that obviously Utah is, I go there a lot, very special place. But I mean, everywhere, Boise, I mean, I, you know, we'll be blanking on where we were even before that, but it's, and then this week we go to, Portland, Maine, and like Rochester and then Radio City. It's a
Maine hat I'm wearing right now.
Oh yeah. Yeah. There you go.
I love Portland, Maine.
Mm-hmm.
It's great.
Danny Ainge came out.
Danny, we met Danny Ainge.
Really? Utah. General manager of the Utah Jazz, I believe.
Yeah. Wow. Great dude. Yeah, it was something. And the shows were really great. The crowds were so good. So good. I like arena. We talked a lot about this. Arenas are, I know they're big and all that, but I mean, I like doing them in the fact that you have these screens so you can see. It's almost watching a special taping live, I would imagine, you know, for the, because, you know, I've been to a ton of shows and not comedy, but music or anything. You always end up kind of watching the screen, but that's always a thing that you kind of think, well, I don't want to, I feel like I'm just watching the screen. I'm not watching. But I mean, you would have to be in a small, small venue to actually see a person's face. Even if you're in a 1,000-seat place, if you're in the back, you can't. It's very hard to see the person's facial expressions.
People in my family used to take binoculars. They would sit so far away at concerts before, I guess it was before screens. I don't know, but they would take binoculars.
I saw a guy we met had binoculars.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, I could see it.
My kind of person, to be
honest. Yeah, Joe likes some nice binoculars.
Yeah.
He has some. He could get to them right now.
I got them right in my golf bag.
Mm-hmm. All right.
On the garage.
But I mean, with the screens, I looked at it as like, I was like, you know what? It's the great part of this is you're in a room together with a lot of people. And it's fun just to see everybody have a fun time and laugh, and it's contagious. And I remember people would afterwards, some would say, man, this guy behind us was just dying laughing so hard, and we were laughing at like how hard he was laughing. But it's like people just love seeing people have joy, and that's and that's what's so great with the ring, because you get stuck in a spot where it's hard to, anything you go to, it's gonna be hard to see someone's face. But with the screen, I mean, I can do facial expressions more than I could in a theater, because you have a screen there and they get big laughs because you're able to, it's like watching a special, but being there and also being in the moment.
Yeah. And it's an event, right? It's like, you can watch comedy at home, but you're like, you still got all your regular distractions. You got your phone, you got, you know, you can pause it. It's like, you're in an event. It is fun to be in an event.
You get in a groove, and it's just, it's a special. And everybody that comes out is just nice and wonderful. We love it.
It's also, you get a little adrenaline looking up at 10,000 people. I'm like, I'm just a tiny man standing where the Utah Jazz play.
It was so high. They just go, I mean, it was when you walked out, because we have a curtain up, you know, like right when you walk out on the stage. So we're not just, everybody can just see everything backstage, but you can see the top. And I mean, it's just all the way to the top. And it's, I mean, the fact that people come out, you have dreams of it happening like this, but it's every single time it's overwhelming. It's pretty special.
My impression of Nate doing arenas, he does his final joke. Crowd goes wild, standing ovation. He comes off stage. You know, I kind of like arenas.
Yeah.
They're okay.
They're all right.
I think I like arenas.
Yeah.
You're like, you like the screaming 10,000 fans who just laughed for an hour straight.
Yeah. Well, that's the fun part, is making that many people laugh. That, you know, that's the goal. Is like, because I do it every hour. I mean, it's not like one can, I guess people are going to like, I mean, so many people like the Tennessee Kids, but because it's the first one they saw or whatever they saw. But you just try to make it this moment where, like, if you can just have them laughing the whole time and just having a good time, and they leave just like, what a, you know, like they feel fulfilled. I mean, that's the goal. Yeah. That's what we're trying to do with Nate Lane Company. Yeah.
All you got to do.
Create some stuff.
Yeah.
We're doing
your angel investments in now.
Get your angel investments.
Comerica.
Co-America, what?
Cromerica Industries.
Cromerica.
Remember when Kramer started his own company?
Oh, yeah.
That's what you're doing.
That's what I'm doing. Nateland Company. We are. We're going to have great stuff. There's a lot of stuff planning. There's a lot of stuff that we're planning to do with this, trying to make stuff that's, you know, like all these specials that we're about to do. It's comedy, you know, like I said, it's comedy that you can go with your whole family. That's the thing that I want it to be. And we're not making comedy for kids, but if your kids can listen, you can decide if you want your kids to listen. I mean, they're, you know, I'm not saying everything's going to be, you're not going to like every single thing, or you might not this and that pick, but it's like I'm doing it with the idea of you in mind, the watcher, and you know, it's stuff you don't have to turn off when your kids walk. It's just stuff like that. It's like stuff that you can feel that's a little safe. I mean, I understand having kids. You know, it's like there's stuff that try not to make it uncomfortable.
Yeah, and if you're like a grown kid, you can still watch it with your parents. Like if you're in your 20s or 30s, you can watch with your parents and not be embarrassed about what's happening.
That's the whole, you know. But I mean, we have 10-year-olds come to shows. I like that. I think when they're that young, some of them, because they listen to this podcast, get everything. Because, you know, and then some kids, you know, they get what they get. But they love seeing their parents laugh hard. And then you love seeing your kid, like, get stuff. And you're just trying to make it that kind of thing where it's, you know, even the younger generation feels like they're listening to an adult programming, kind of, but it's okay for them. You know, the goal of is it's okay for them to listen. You're not going to be like, oh man.
That's really, really hard to. You're about the only comic I know out there doing it, really. I mean, at that level.
No, Brian, all you got to do is make everybody laugh for 90 straight minutes, a whole family in a giant arena. That's all you got to do.
Yeah.
I mean, I know other clean comics, but they don't reach 10-year-olds and 70-year-olds.
I think how you do it is you're not trying to reach 10-year-olds and 70-year-olds. I'm just trying not to make my parents upset with what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. So that's all I do. Everything I put out, I just don't want my parents to be embarrassed or mad, and they would come watch. That's really how I just do every joke I do. Everything is just, I don't want my parents. I think a lot of, you know, my wife's parents, I just don't want any, the older generation to be like kind of disappointed or like, just kind of like, you know, I think about them a lot because it's just, I just feel like they don't, it's and not like I'm trying to make it for them, because you don't have to make it for them. They get everything. You don't have to like dumb it down for kids or for adults. You just do your act, and then just don't do, you know, it's.
Well, that's what I'm doing too. You're just doing it at a much, much higher level.
How does your dad feel about you comparing him to a gorilla?
Yeah.
Now? He likes it.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I mean, I think, I haven't asked. I do compare him to Grill in this new act.
I find that the higher the success goes, the more your parents are willing to go, hey, that's okay.
Oh, yes.
You know, they're like, I don't mind that you say that.
I told a joke, I said it this week at Utah, and I said, but it's funny because I grew up, my parents are Catholic, and then, they grew up Catholic, and then, but I was raised Baptist, and so they went to Baptist one year. So I have all of the Catholic guilt without any of the fun of Catholic. And then just the strictness of Baptist, which is the most strict of like you could, especially not as much now, but when we were growing up, Baptist was the most.
For sure.
They could get disappointed or real fast at you.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that's just what it was now. It's not like that now. And so I have. You already feel, so every day is like a pretty tough day when you're like, you got the Baptist, like, I'm not supposed to do any of this stuff. And then I get the Catholic guilt, but without the Catholic is probably the funnest one.
They get loose with it.
They get very loose with it.
Yeah.
The mom's the Catholic?
No, both.
Oh, okay. I grew up non-baptized and I was jealous of people that were baptized.
Oh, yeah. You can get baptized.
Anytime.
Anytime you want to. He's there.
I'm a little self-conscious. Like I picture it's just babies and then me showing up.
Well, it's better than going to hell.
Right. I know. It's tough though. It's a little.
You know, I don't know. It's all work.
A little self-conscious though.
Yeah. But that's fine. You can, as you talk to Hitler down there, you will say, yeah. I just never did it. Because it was, I think Hitler probably did it. Because he was like, well, I was going to try it. Yeah. Anyway, it was fun. Yeah, this tour has been special. It's been great. We're off and running. We're doing, we're going to have a big, big thing. You're at the beginning of this Nate Land Company stuff. We got the show. We got the three specials are out that we directed. And then we got the showcase coming out. We're going to hopefully do more of those. We got some other plans, some other stuff coming. And try to really make something, I don't know. We'll see what it ends up becoming. But just trying to, not be, be entertained.
I'm sold. You got my cash.
Yeah. Where were you guys? So
I was Saturday. I was in Wilmington, Ohio, doing a Joe Zimmerman gig.
Mm. I forgot
about it. I think I canceled it for a Nate gig.
You did. Yeah. You did. So I take your secondhand gigs.
Right. What are the odds of this?
Full circle.
Yeah. Your picture was still up on the wall. So, but it was a great gig. Very fun show. I met our intern Amelia for the first time.
All right.
She brought me this. World's best boss coffee mug. So yeah. Thank you, Amelia. And met a lot of folks there, and that was a lot of fun. And then last night I was in Philadelphia at Helium Comedy Club.
Oh, yeah.
And yesterday afternoon I had a 4:30 show. Eagles game at 1:00. Oh. As you know, I was up against. So the game should have been over around 4:00. Last play of the game, Commanders tied up, goes into overtime.
Yeah.
So everybody who is there is in the bar watching the game. Mm. And I was like, is there any way we could wait a little bit to let the game be over? And then the manager was like, well, we got another show after you, so we can't wait. He's like, we can wait 5 minutes. And the Eagles kicked the game-winning field goal right when the announcer's making the welcome to whatever.
Yeah.
So everybody saw it. They cheered.
Yeah.
And the show went on, and it was great. Good. Yeah.
Oh, great. Right. That's great. That's great.
A little pressure there.
Yeah.
I went to Skyline Comedy Club in Wisconsin, in Appleton, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
It was great. Couple of sold out shows, couple of shows that were definitely not sold out, and but they were all fun. It was a blast. Fun. It was great. I loved it. Appleton, such a nice town.
Yeah.
I had a great time.
It is a cool spot. Joe was with me, and so we went through
Played golf with Tony Finau.
Played golf with Tony Finau. Joe's a very good golfer. Joe played college golf with Davidson.
It's true. Davidson. Shout out to my boy, Steph Curry.
Yeah. They went to school the same time.
Close personal friend.
And he's a great golfer.
School the same time at same place?
Same team. We were on this basketball team together.
Yeah. Is that true?
No. Joe's a sneaky athlete.
Yeah.
I mean, his energy and everything, his look comes off like this guy wouldn't know about sports. But it's Joe is good at basketball. He's good at golf.
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Billiards.
Any highlights of you playing basketball on the internet anywhere?
There's an old comedy sketch of me doing a comedy basketball thing.
But no real...
No real basketball.
Yeah. I don't know if we have to look that up.
No, you don't. But,
I'm just trying to, I'm trying to be useful.
You're
here,
trying to be the computer guy.
Yeah. Well, since we're talking about sports, Dusty, instead of that, why don't you tell us about Game Time?
Oh, that's a great idea. Our schedules usually have us buying tickets the day of events. Instead of getting stressed out, we like the Game Time app. It has great prices on last-minute tickets and flash deals. Game Time is the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all the sports, music, theater, and, of course, comedy near you. We like the Game Time app because they make it so easy to see.
Yeah, it's kind of the podcast.
Yeah.
Maybe you could listen one time. I wonder if anybody ever says that to someone, like, you got a lady's last name.
I don't know. Avila. Boa Villa.
Maybe it's a lady.
Maybe it is.
I usually listen during my commute to and from work. I just took a drink of water when Nate brought up the scenario of Dylan Lee hearing that John was there to see him. Pretty sure I stopped breathing trying to hold in the water. Tough time. Go Jackets.
People love that.
They liked, yeah. I had a guy yell Go Jackets this weekend.
Yeah.
And I didn't, like, it was even in Idaho Falls. They were great, too.
Yeah.
Let me tell you what, because you people, you bring the energy. That's, like, what's so wonderful. And like, we have a 3 p.m. show in Salt Lake City. Great. Sunday show's great. You know, usually typical of Friday and Saturday, everybody kind of, that's when they're typically going out. But everybody comes very excited. We're adding all these shows, so we have to do them sometimes at weirder times and all this. But we will do our, we'll do the best we can to bring you that. But I mean, you guys have been really great at no matter what time, you know, the shows have been awesome. But a guy yelled, "Go Jackets" last night. And, I was like, "What?" And then I was like, "Oh," and then I was like, "Yeah, yeah." And I was like, "Go Jackets."
Yeah.
Yeah. So I love, I love Go Jackets. Grant Morgan. Nate said if the NFL fined him for throwing the football in the stands, he would tell them they had to give the money to charity. And Aaron said that would never happen. But that is what the NFL, as well as other professional leagues, do with the money they collect from fines. They give it to the charity. Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. I doubt it, though. You know what I mean? It goes to a charity.
Yeah, it's just a tax write-off.
Yeah, yeah.
Shelter. Yeah, was, tax shelter. Yeah.
Thanks, Grant.
No, that is nice. That is, it is very nice.
Yeah. Jeff J. Snyder. Baker's Dozen was right. That's what we call him, B names. I don't know if I want to explain that.
Any B name, that's, they're talking about me.
Yeah, BOGO. I remember BOGO.
Oh, yeah.
I love BOGO tour.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I told him about the BOGO tour this week.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a fun amazing. One.
Love that.
Baker's Dozen was right. The Braves did call themselves America's team during the TBS days. Ted Turner started in the 1970s as the owner of the team. It was almost a joke most of the time because they were really bad for a long time.
The Braves have always been America's team today. Yeah.
Well, they used to be. You weren't on this episode, but I said they were America's team and no one agreed. They were like, no, that's just the Cowboys.
It's because they were on, what, TNT or TBS every night, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ted Turner. Made him. He made him America's team.
I feel like they are. Still are.
Yeah.
All always right. will be.
It was that John sure. Smoltz, Greg Maddux era.
Yeah.
Dale Murphy.
Tom Glyman.
Boom. That was the
Fred McGriff.
That was when I was collecting baseball cards.
Yeah.
Me back too. In that big day. Yeah. Roy Opata Olindi. Roy.
Nice job, Nate.
Is that it?
Roy. I don't know, but that's a good guess.
Roy Opata Olindi.
That's great.
I felt like they knew that other stuff was going to be so much. They go, just give him Roy up top.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like the Opata Olindi is
mm-hmm.
like.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you're gonna. That's like parents that are like, it's not easy, dude. But we're almost, about to do to you, mm-hmm. so we're gonna give you a nice Roy.
I almost thought I should have given him O'Roy. You O'Roy. Know what I'm like? O'Roy. Just keep
O'Roy,
it going.
O'Roy, Opata, O'Lindy. O'Roy.
Just keep it going.
Yeah. Oh boy. I'm pretty sure that I'm the only person from Kenya who listens to this show. So here's a helpful heads up. There are way more than three animals on this continent that eat meat.
John Chris said he went on a safari. There's only three animals out there that eat meat.
Crocodiles, leopards, jackals, African wild dogs, just to name a few. John Chris was not paying attention on that safari. Some poor American is going to try to pet a baboon and lose a limb.
That's true. That is true.
Roy.
Yeah.
Roy's are, he's are, what are they? On the news, like our
correspondent,
he's our correspondent in Kenya.
Man on the street,
yeah. He's our Kenyan correspondent.
Let's go to Roy.
We go to Roy in Kenya, and then he just my brother's over in Africa right now.
Well, you should warn him because if you watch the John Chris episode, it'd be dangerous.
It would be. Cherith Cute Story.
That's got to be a made up last name.
I doubt it.
nobody lies when they
Cherith Cute Story. Cute Story. It sounded like they were dissing Richard Jewell as being a bad example of moral character. Richard Jewell was falsely accused. Ultimately, he was vindicated, but that's got so
vindicated.
He was vindicated, but that got so little media attention compared to the public beating he took for something he didn't do. Yeah, I don't know. Do we say anything bad about it? I'm a big Richard Jewell fan.
Yeah, I know you are. I don't. It was just kind of in passing. John said when I pointed out that Kanye replaced John on the speaking. You know, we're all laughing. He's like Richard Jewell, and I don't know what he meant. We all kind of laughed and moved on. But,
oh yeah, yeah.
But she's absolutely right.
A, you know, they made that movie. It's just a funny name. Like, that it was
somebody
just
else
like,
from Atlanta. That
And it's a different. And the joke would be that it's a name that you wouldn't. We're naming big celebrities.
Yeah.
And it's Richard Jewell. But yeah, I'm a giant Richard Jewell fan. Giant.
Mm-hmm.
You watch that movie? It's insane.
What's the movie?
Richard Jewell.
Oh, okay. All right.
It's
okay.
A great movie. It's right. It's Clint Eastwood. Atlanta. Yeah, Atlanta.
Oh, I love Clint Eastwood.
Atlanta bombing. And they and they blamed it on this dude. And this dude this dude tried to like save everybody.
Yeah. Wow.
And the whole media turns against this guy and just ruins this guy's life.
Jeez.
Yeah. So I'm a giant Richard Jewell fan. The FBI was like just throwing it on this. I mean, just insane. John Leese. Dusty could be David Cross's younger brother.
People always say that. They don't say that. Younger brother, but they always say I look like David Cross in disguise.
Yeah.
People say it all the time. Yeah. I like David Cross.
I think y'all have different talking points. But.
Yeah, I think so.
But nonetheless.
Yeah.
Very funny in movies, though. I love him in movies.
Yeah.
Arrested Development.
Very funny.
Yeah, he's great.
Scary Movie, too.
Yeah. I need to watch. Those are pretty good, right?
The Scary Movie 2 was really good.
Yeah.
I don't know about the others.
Yeah, that'd be a fun one. Grace Prizwara. Hello, folks. I saw Brass Band in North Charleston with my friend.
All right.
We had an absolute blast. One of his openers delivered a punchline a little too quickly and the audience didn't react. As we slowly caught on, he started making fun of us and our intelligence, which did make us laugh. But I thought it felt a little like one of those tricks Nate talks about and kind of amateur. I wanted to know y'all's feelings on putting it back on the audience when a joke bombs.
I blame the audience every time.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with her. It is one of those kind of tricks we do when you don't laugh and you try to turn it on them just to, get you out of a situation.
Yeah, it's almost always your sign delivery of a joke didn't work. And then the person's just scrambling to not look terrible.
Yeah.
And sometimes it works. Sometimes you put it back on the crowd and sometimes the crowd buys into it and you're like, I've never done that, but you see people do it.
Yeah. I think it's just really what the personality of the comic is.
I would never
blame myself actually.
Yeah.
As it's happening.
If you're like a Daniel Tosh, Jeselnik type that has an arrogant, confident vibe, I feel like that's a fine move.
Yeah,
suits your persona.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Daniel Tosh does it. I mean, so Jeselnik too. They do. Daniel Tosh even more so putting it out on the crowd. He does it very, very well.
Yeah.
And it's very, very funny. Like it's fun. It's so over the top that you don't feel like you're just like fine being the dumb one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it could be something like that.
I know a lot of the comics in Charleston. I wish I knew who that was, but I would think that Daniel Tosh probably would tell a joke that the audience wouldn't catch. And then it would be okay to make fun of them.
Yes.
I think most of the time when it happens, that's not the case.
It was Daniel Tosh.
It was
that's who opened for.
Yeah, yeah,
incredible.
Jeselnik hosted.
We figured it out.
But yeah, most of the time, it's probably they've done it that way a million times. Yeah. They know the joke's not going to work. They go ahead and plan the reaction of making fun of the audience.
Yeah,
that's what I think.
Well, that's you see stuff like that pop in where you can tell someone has. It's like they've messed the joke up once and then they got out of it in such a funny way that then it just ends up becoming.
Right.
That just stays there.
If the joke works, it messes up your whole thing.
I've heard you say, if you ever see that on a special, like you said that, if you ever see that on a special, it means that they rehearsed it that way.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
That joke never quite worked.
And you're like, you want to really make sure that it didn't come from you. You go, this is Nate. No, Nate said this.
I've had that thought. There's people on specials that'll be like, oh, you're groaning now, or oh, you don't laugh, but this, and this.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to say, you've created an act. So I've created an act. I'm a big act person. I go up there and I do my act. And so I'm fine with creating the act. But yeah, you can tell when it's like, all right, like, you know, it can be over the top. Stuff happens and you're going to have a thing that happened really funny. Then you do think, well, maybe I'll try to do it everywhere. But sometimes you're like, just do a joke. Well, fix the joke.
Well, also it's an opener in Charleston. Maybe they are an amateur, so we can cut them some slack.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, maybe they're just getting started.
No, I would be. Yeah.
No, look, hammer it.
You know who chooses the comments?
Hammer it.
The headliner of that show. and he wanted to put it out there.
I say hammer.
Oh, so you know who it was.
I do.
Oh, no, I didn't realize that.
He asked him to be on the show.
He doesn't listen to this podcast.
So I hope it doesn't
he's
get
gonna listen. He's gonna listen when somebody tells him about this.
Yeah.
No, I mean it I would imagine it was in the moment of, you know, doing it. But I mean, that might be his act. So I don't know.
When they said I saw a brass band, I'm just now connecting the dots.
Yeah.
He's the B name.
Yeah.
I thought they saw a brass band in North Charleston with a comedian opener. Mm. So I'm glad I understand now.
All right. Eric T. Holman. My wife and I took a week-long honeymoon in Mexico, and when we returned, we started noticing little pictures of Dusty all over our house. Turns out, some friends of ours have a tradition of pranking people while they're on their honeymoon. They hit over 400 "we're having a good time" pictures in our house. So far, we found about 150 and find more every day.
Wow. That's amazing.
That's awesome.
I mean, it feels like you'll hate me by the time you're done finding pictures, but I love that. I like that tradition.
That is. That's.
You love the tradition of people finding pictures of you?
Yeah, I like that these people hid.
I also like arenas.
Yeah.
I feel like that'd be a good prank for you to play on people.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Just leave pictures of myself.
Yeah, I like it.
Mm-hmm. Like a glitter bomb, but just pictures of me as you're vacuuming it up. You just see me.
It could be funny if you go to someone's house, just always leave a signed headshot and just have it somewhere ridiculous. How long it takes.
I would do that in comedy condos for a while. Mm-hmm. And I felt like people were making fun of me for it. And I was like, come on, guys. It's a joke. We're making a joke here.
Yeah.
It's a good bit.
The problem about irony is that there's certain people that would seriously do that.
Yeah.
They would genuinely do that. And you're like, I'm the ironic headshot next to the guy that's like, this is the real headshot.
Yeah.
That's almost like the last joke you're talking about, because there could be people that do it that way, the tricks.
Yeah.
But maybe he's not.
Yeah.
So you don't know.
If he's
not, then there's nothing wrong with, you know.
Yeah, I like to leave a picture behind in hopes that the next comic in the condo is a fan. And they'll be like, oh, this is nice that he left this. I'll take this home with me.
Mm-hmm.
Appleton condo or hotel?
Hotel.
Nice.
I left one there for the maid.
Smart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you really?
No.
I like that move. I'm into it.
Yeah. Johnny Shakes. I was at the Jerry Seinfeld show in Minneapolis, and he was taking questions from the crowd at the end of the show. Someone asked, who is his favorite comedian right now? And he replied, Nate Bargatze. He also said he wished he was still shooting comedians in cars so he could have Nate on.
How about that?
Wow.
Yes.
Big time.
Nice.
Very, very nice. Yeah. I have been talking to Jerry. So that's big news.
All right. Big time.
And
you're going to direct his next special.
I'm going to direct it on Nate Land.
Nate Land business.
We have been texting and talking and a little bit more, and it's pretty crazy. He sent me a very nice message. He watched my last special, and it was very overwhelming. And it's obviously it's all I've ever wanted was for that dude to watch, and we just started talking, and it's very nice that he said that. He's gonna hopefully I'll see him at, he might come to Radio City one night, I think, if he can make it, which, because we
is that
have
this weekend?
Not met in person. That is this weekend. Mm-hmm. We have not met in person, but we've been talking, and that's been very, very special.
That's awesome.
It's very, it's extra cool because that's your favorite show. You've probably seen more than any, right?
I've seen it more than anything. Yeah, he'd be my favorite comic. I mean, it's, you know, I mean, I like so many other comics, because once you get into comedy, you're just like, wow, I can't believe there's so many comedians that are so good. And that's the thing that we're trying to do with the Nate Land. Like, is like, that's what, when I'm when I go on the road and there's, I had Gary Veeder and Joe Zimmerman this weekend with me. And it's like, that's what this whole show's about to be. And is, you see a couple other comics, maybe two or three other comics, and they go up and you just, you know, just enjoy trying to show you some stuff you can enjoy, and then you can go watch Joe's special this weekend and have a good time. And, you know, people can get into I want people to get into stand-up comedy. Stand-up comedy's got taken a big leap right now, and a lot of people do it. And I want people to be able to get into it and not be fearful of it just being I don't know, too heavy or too, not saying everything's going to be right up your alley. You got to go into it, and I can't predict how you're going to like everything, but I can control the, you know, just so it's not too dirty or too, you know, I figured that's being done. And so Absolutely. We can do it this way. And that's what I, and then, you know, be introduced, you know, younger people can get into it too as well. Cause I mean, the other stuff that's dirty, I mean, I have no problem, you know, people do whatever you want to do. Most of my best friends are the dirtiest comedians. It's guys I've started with, but you know, I do this.
Brian Regan has a good story about opening for Jerry Seinfeld. Mm-hmm. I think when in the early 90s, maybe, or late 80s. But he, some lady was caught waving him at the end of the show, waving for Brian to come over. So he came over like, oh, cool. You know, young Brian Regan. Yeah. And she hands him some panties and she's like, can you give these to Jerry? And he's like, yeah, sure. I'll pass these along. Yeah. I think he opened for Jerry for a few years.
Yeah, I saw him open for Jerry.
Yeah.
Really? Oh, so when was that? How long ago was this?
It was the early 2000s.
T-Pac. Mm-hmm. Oh, I saw it too.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
It's cool.
Joe goes out, Joe Zimmerman. I like that I just went through that trying to be not dirty and then you.
Well, not did panties. I say did I say anything dirty?
Well, I'm just joking. I mean, not really. And this is the content that I'm saying. It's like this, but it's just funny that it's like as I say that you go. Let me tell you this joke about this lady getting a pair of panties.
Well, you can buy panties at a family store. I didn't know that was dirty.
I know, but you understand the dirtiness of the fact of the handing.
I don't know. No. Innocent to me.
Yeah.
I apologize. I'm sorry that I offended everybody.
Yeah, because Joe's off. All right. And we're back. Joe's gone. No. I just like the timing of it. I thought it was funny.
Perfect timing.
The timing, he goes, oh, I got a great Brian Regan Seinfeld. This girl brought her underwear and gave it to Brian. You're like, huh. I mean, I just went on a long. I'm going to tell you what we won't stand for. Cheap shots. Joe, go ahead.
I got a lot more where that came from. And Nate supports it.
Yeah. Philip Lawson. This is super random, but I searched all four of you on Tennessee unclaimed property, and Brian's name is the only one that got results. Just thought I'd let him know he might have money to claim. Amazed it wasn't Aaron like the Grill Weber.
Yeah, so I looked into this. He sent this two or three months ago. And I went on this website, Tennessee Unclaimed Property, and I had quite a bit of money there waiting for me. So about 15 years ago.
Wait, what?
How much?
I'm about to tell the story.
Wow.
About 15 years ago or so, my company... I shouldn't have started by saying so much. It was $4,000.
Okay. Uh-huh. I mean, that's a lot.
It is a lot.
That's great.
Yeah. But
it's not. Life changing. Like, yeah. Guys, this is the last time you ever see me.
He's got a gold necklace on right now, and he's got a Rolex, and he's just sitting there. We haven't noticed. He goes, oh, yeah, I guess you did come into some money.
Yeah. I mean, I'd love to find $4,000. But it is kind of the wrong setup.
Yeah. Yeah. Like $3.5 million. Yeah. Life changing money. Anyway, about 15 years ago or so, the company I worked for sold to another company. And so our benefits somehow rolled over into this other thing where you could either roll it into a 401k or you could get some type of annuity where you get $70 a month or something like that. Now, dumb me thought, oh, I want to go full time to stand up comedy. So that's $70 a month I could really use. Well, somewhere along the way, I moved and the paperwork got messed up. And that money, I just never knew what happened to it. And I was so dumb, I couldn't even figure out what happened to it. I just, like, I don't know. And every month, it was going to my old address. And for like 5 years, 6 years or whatever. Mm. So I went online, put in a claim for it. They don't easily just give you the money. You got to show a lot of proof. But then they mailed me a check for $4,000.
Wow.
Thanks to Philip Lawson.
Wow. Philip Lawson coming through.
Yeah. What a dude.
I wonder if that's one of the most things someone listening has done for a podcast, like directly for the, not besides you listening, but straight up You just
gave me.
You gave Brian $4,000.
Yeah.
Philip, if you want to come to one of my shows, I'll get you in half price.
Yeah.
Why don't you do a
cash only, Philip?
South Carolina, Alabama search for me. You know, because I've lived there too. Maybe I have unclaimed money there somehow.
Those are your rough days, though.
Yeah, it's been, that is
true. You owe money there.
Yeah. Maybe he doesn't need to go.
That's true.
Dusty Slay owes this much.
Yeah.
Yeah. You might wake a giant, sleeping giant there.
That is true.
It's like me with Sound Exchange.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. First Sound Exchange you got.
I complained about not getting enough, and they did ran some paperwork. Turns out I owed them money.
How is that possible? Yeah.
Because there was another Brian Bates who was a musician, and they'd been sending me his money.
Yeah. That's incredible.
So all my friends were like getting this amount, and I was like, I don't think I'm getting enough. And I complained to them about it, and they did ran a check, and they're like, actually, you've been getting too much.
Yeah.
Wow.
You owe us.
They owe. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. It was.
That's a hard.
It was perfect. It was when it happened. It was truly perfect. Because I think you did get. I thought you finally did get something, and then or something.
I was getting a little bit.
Yeah.
But obviously, I was getting too much.
Yeah.
I like the idea that the letter might be worded like we did some research, and turns out we did find some issues.
Yeah.
With how you're getting paid, and you're reading it like yes, yes.
Yeah.
I love that.
Joe did. Had some stuff. Can you talk about it and all that? No.
Not allowed to yet.
Yeah. Okay.
Ooh, cliffhanger.
Say, cliffhanger. Yeah.
But
man of mystery.
Yeah. How do I say? I'm trying to think what I can talk about.
Just in general. We got more stuff.
But
you searched for some stuff and basically kind of did an unclaimed property kind of thing, but for a lot of the comedians.
Yeah. Got some money coming to a lot of different comedians.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's about very all nice thing. Yeah, it's all I can say. But it was very, very, very nice thing. Luke Middleton. Hello from Maine. I saw the Natives 3 upcoming shows in Portland, Maine, with not one, but two in the same evening. I have three. While I'm sure both shows will be great, if you guys were going to see your favorite comedian, you had the choice between the first and the second, which would you choose to go to and why? I mean, that's really up to you. It's honestly, my shows, I mean, everybody's just very nice. And so they end up being great shows. It's not like you can say, well, the first one, I'm going to do this, and the second one, I'm not. There could be any reasons you could have one. Because, I mean, there's times you think, all right, well, you know, the first one's first, and maybe it's earlier, and it's going to be... They're not there. The energy is going to be a little bit lower, or whatever reason, and then that is the best show. And then the second show can be, well, they're going to be fired up and it's going to be amazing. And then it's like that one cannot be. But I mean, overall, fortunately, when you get into these bigger places, the shows all end up being the same. I would say if you were going to a comedy club, a lot of times it's better to go to the earlier show because the one that can be later can end up being a little drunker. And it's also the person you're going to see where the crowd could be a little more rowdier, a little drunker, a little more problems. Or
yeah, there's really no way to know because I find even at those shows, for me, where the crowd might be a little more rowdier, that can be the more interesting show, right? You might get my best jokes and my best act in the early show, but the late show, you're going to get weirder stuff where things just happen and the more in the moment stuff is funny.
Yes. Yeah.
The early show, you can get on in there and get your seat. You don't have to wait outside for the first show.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the thing. Although
more traffic on the early show.
But on the first show, comics got to keep it to a certain time because there is a second show where the second show, he could go a little longer.
Mm-hmm.
If you so
that's true.
That is true.
Nate does 58 minutes every show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I do my act.
Yeah. By the book.
Yeah. By the book. Like a 60 minute show. So that's what I do.
All the shows are great. I don't think for a Nate show that the time is better. Because you did a 3 p.m. in Salt Lake City that was just as good. Mm-hmm. A 3 p.m.
3 p.m.
Just as good. But yeah.
Salt Lake City's great. I love it there.
It is.
You want to tell us about Delete Me?
Delete Me. Guys, we're excited to tell you about our new sponsor, Delete Me. Laura and I have been using this service personally for a few years now. And we are glad to partner with them. Like, we've had it signed up forever. It's a you know, because the internet's crazy, and this is, your data is probably available for everyone who's ready to pay for it, which it worked out for this guy, but usually it doesn't.
What do you mean?
Well, because your data is
no number, and it's your loved one. It's probably not a loved one if they're asking for money.
Have they really already done that?
The voices are already imitating exact people's voices. And,
wow.
And calling loved ones. Yeah.
Yeah. Hi. So it's like my voice, and I go, "Mom, I need money."
Mom, I'm in a jam here in Saudi, or no, I'm in a jam here in somewhere in Africa. Can you moneygram me?
They play the country song. $2,000. Mom and Dad, yeah. Please send money. I'm so broke.
It's always it's always a wire. Yeah. It's always wire or moneygram.
Yeah.
Or maybe PayPal, Venmo.
Yeah, but I mean, what if my mom's like, "Well, when did you go to Africa?"
Exactly. So then
I'm here with Derek.
So then, So then most people will be like, "We'll text your real number and be like, Nate, are you okay?" And you'll be like, "Yeah." And they'll know it's a scam. Yeah. But if they don't do that, then they'll be scammed.
Yeah. And that, yeah. And they, you know, and they could, cause they could just get, they're probably not going a mom and a, you know, they're going to figure it out where they don't do a mom and a son, but they do aunt and a, you know.
They're calling a lot of grandparents.
Yeah.
Yeah. With a grandson needing help.
Yeah, that's so, man, it's insane. Yeah. That's insane stuff. And that's what we plan on doing in Nate Land Company.
A lot of money in it.
We're going to call you.
A lot of money.
There's a ton of money in it. We're going to call your grandparents and sell them clean comedy over the phone. If you double the price, you can hear Joe's underwear stories. This week.
Well, Monday is Columbus Day. Mm. If you guys knew that or not. So I thought, let's talk about some explorers.
All right. Love that.
You guys know anything about Christopher Columbus or any other explorer?
Sailed the ocean blue.
Yeah.
1492, right?
Yeah. Mm. That's about all I know.
Pretty problematic. Yeah. Pretty problematic, if you ask me.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. I mean,
Columbus was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We grew up believing that he discovered America, and now everybody says we should hate him. So I'm conflicted on him.
Well, he was trying to find India, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he kind of missed.
Mm-hmm.
Big miss.
Yeah. He wasn't trying to discover a new country. He was trying to find a Western trade route to India because.
Yeah. But I mean, this is, what are you going to do?
It's a better. So, it's a better.
I don't know why. Yeah. So why are people mad at
him? I'm just sharing facts about it. I'm not saying right or wrong.
Yeah.
You're just talking about because Native Americans, right?
And no, I was just trying to chime in. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, he's getting a lot of guff. He's getting a lot of guff for Columbus Day. And now it's what? Indigenous Peoples Day. Yeah.
That's what you meant though, right? About problematic?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Okay.
Because did you discover America or did people discover it 5,000 years earlier?
Yeah.
That's all.
Yes.
Also, Vikings apparently got here.
Yeah, Joe, you're killing all my notes here. Can you just back off a little?
I'll back off.
I mean, we're done, basically.
Yeah, that was it.
That's all I knew. That's the only explorer I knew, so I was like, I got to get it in.
So this week, I'll be at Tumor Edstery.
I know nothing about any explorers. I'm sorry.
Well, you're right. Leif Erikson, the Viking, I guess, explorer.
Leif.
Yeah, Leif Erikson.
Not a bad first name.
Yeah, I like it.
I could see that coming back.
You know, they got, yeah. I mean, I feel like, what was there? There was a Leif something that played football somewhere, right?
No, Ryan Leif.
Ryan Leif. Ryan Leif.
But there's a Leif. Isn't there an actor or something named Leif?
Leif Garrett?
Maybe.
Leif Garrett sounds familiar. Levi Garrett is chewing tobacco.
Yeah.
There's River Phoenix.
Okay. Yeah.
We're getting somewhere now.
Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yeah. All the great explorers.
Yeah.
I think you're right.
I like Leif.
Yeah, it's a good name.
Mm-hmm.
I like that too. Leif Erikson is the Viking.
Mm-hmm. Leif, like you need to leave.
Like a wrestler.
I bet that's hard though. If you're a Leif and just constantly getting asked to leave.
Yeah.
Just.
Or maybe you're like, they're like, please stay. You're like, I gotta leave.
Yeah.
Leif's gotta leave.
Leif, don't leave.
Please, Leif. They just say that because they know he can't even, you know, you're asking him to leave.
Yeah.
There's no.
Leif hates the autumn.
Do you know Leif's father's name?
Tree.
That's a good guess. But from our names episode, could you guess what Leif's father's name would be?
Oak. Ground.
Oak.
Dirt.
Do you remember his last name?
Erickson. Oh, Eric.
Eric. Yeah. Oh, it's oh. Eric's son. Yeah. Yes.
Whoa. What was, yeah. What was Eric's last name?
Son. His dad's name was Son.
Yeah.
So it just keeps going.
Okay. Interesting.
And then his dad's name was just an S. And then it was just, they yelled at each other.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And I noises. Like
that. Interesting.
Yeah.
I like that history.
Well, he did. They think he.
Zimmerman. Like you're. Oh. Zimmer, yeah. It would have been your dad's name is Zimmer, correct? And then he
was a man.
He was a man. True. And that's how you got to Joe.
Incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Incredible. Mm-hmm. Bargatze, your dad's name is Barge.
Barge.
Because his grandpa drove a tugboat.
Ours stands for like the barkeeper.
Oh.
His name comes from that. Like it's, we were the first house at the gate.
Yeah, or Bargate or something.
Bargate. Like we were the first, like trying to kind of be there, like, you can't come in. And then they asked us to leave. We were the
original
closest,
gatekeepers.
The original gatekeepers of.
Oh, not
now,
like,
but
not
of a
like
gatekeeper himself
of
the Nateland Company.
We didn't own it.
Not like slinging beers when you said barkeep.
No, it's like, it was that, like, I think we just were, it doesn't come from. We're just the ones that get shot first when the people come in the gate. But we're there to, we live the closest to the gate. And okay. It's like kind of like, no.
Barely in the town.
We're barely in the town.
Oh, yeah. I get it.
Yeah.
You're the front lines.
Front lines. Nice. And they're fine with just moving those lines back. And then now we're, the first outside the gate.
Yeah. Go ahead. Take a step.
Yeah. We're near the gate.
Out gates, eh?
Yeah, out gatesy. Yeah, out gatesy. Yeah, we're near that gate. We don't get far from the gate. In or out.
Well, anyway, Leif Erickson's day is also October 9th, which I think is this coming Monday. It didn't get mentioned as much as Columbus Day, but...
I wonder why.
Not as cool a ring to it, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot of cities named after Leif Erickson.
Mm-hmm. Not many Vikings left either.
Yeah, you got a lot of Columbuses.
I'm afraid to ask what sleigh meant, by the way.
I mean, I think we were...
Well, think you were the one charging the gates.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's true.
Mm-hmm. But yes, Columbus. So he... to get from Europe to India or China, you had to go all the way down around Africa. So they said, instead of going east, let's see if we go west and see if we could get there quicker. And they didn't realize how big the world was. So he sailed, and it took him like 6 years to convince somebody to let him even do it, to fund it. He finally convinced Spain. He was from Italy, but Spain funded him. And then...
Man, how you get that money?
From the king and queen.
I know. You got to go get it from Spain. Was he in Spain?
Yeah, I think he went to a few countries and hit them up.
Angel investors.
Angel investors. Yeah. But I mean, back then you got to go, how do you even ask Spain for the money? Like you got to take a 4-year boat ride.
Yeah.
And go to Spain.
And what did Spain get in return?
Well, they got the land. I mean, that was.
What land?
Did they?
El Spain. South America. They got Spain.
Yeah. Well, they got Mexico and
but Columbus got to America and the English got America, so it sounds like it didn't work right.
Well, he didn't even make it to the mainland.
We're trying
to,
Bates was back. He was alive during this time. Go ahead, Brian.
I'm trying to remember from watching the news.
Yeah.
He just got to like where Haiti is and the Bahamas and El Salvador and places like that. And he thought, again, it was India. So he called it, that's why they're called Indians, because he thought he arrived in India. He never, ever knew that he found a new world.
He never knew that?
I don't think so.
Did he get killed?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
did he get killed?
Or he died? No, I guess he just died.
Yeah.
I don't guess he got killed.
I didn't know. I mean, I know he's not alive today. But
Did he so get many explorers killed? Got killed by Native Americans. I forgot. I think he maybe just died.
He didn't get killed by Native Americans.
Yeah, at first I thought he did, because Magellan did. I'm getting confused.
He was just trying to make a map.
He was just trying to find a spice tray to the West Indies. Do you know what continent's named after a person?
Yeah.
Asia.
I do, I think. America, named after Amerigo Vespucci?
Yeah.
Very good.
Joe is
killing it.
Joe went to college. He comes. His dad's a professor.
Is that true?
Yeah.
I did go to college. It's true. Yeah.
Your dad's a professor?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of history?
He teaches writing.
Yeah.
English, right?
Joe comes, yeah, it's old money.
Yeah.
A lot of money.
Deep pockets.
Yeah. A lot of money. Professor James Madison University. That's where the money is.
Yeah.
That's where the money is. It's
a fun school. It's a smart school.
My grandpa was a professor as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Of writing?
Engineering. Ooh. But he lived in India, so it comes all full
circle.
Are
they disappointed with the route you've taken?
Because you went west, like Columbus.
No, my dad would have been, my dad's happy. He would have been supportive of whatever I did. Yeah. Sweet dad. Yeah. Good dad.
Good dad.
And you still write.
I do love to write. Yeah. So I did inherit that from him.
It only took him 10 weeks. Not as long as you might think. I mean, it's a long time.
To get from where?
From Europe to America or to the Bahamas.
Yeah.
I mean, I would have thought it would have been many months.
Yeah. I mean, that's 2 months. That's two and a half months. So.
Yeah.
That's not bad though.
It's not crazy, but it's like, are you sure you want to do this?
Yeah.
But I mean, so he goes over there, asks for the money, and then he's like, I need, you know, they're like, let me think about it. He's like, why does you got to live here till they?
On a climate-friendly ship.
Three ships.
Powered. Yeah.
Do you know the names of the ships?
The Nina, the Pita, the Santa Maria.
Man, you guys are pros.
Yeah. Was that Columbus's ships?
That was Columbus.
Okay.
Before I forget.
What was the Mayflower?
As the Pilgrims.
The Mayflower is the Mayflower.
Pilgrims,
but, no, but when did they come?
60s.
16. yeah. 60s.
Before I forget, Nate had a pretty good America joke in Australia that I haven't heard you keep doing. Pretty solid.
What was it?
When you say, in Australia, you say I'm from America.
Oh, yeah, I need to do that.
That's a good joke.
Yeah. I would say, when you tell someone, it's funny to like say America, because when you go to another country and they go, where are you from? I go, I'm from America.
Yeah.
And it
yeah.
just sounds so aggressive. Yeah. But I don't know what to say. Like, they say the States. Yeah, someone's like, I'm from the States. And so that is a little bit easier. But it was like, I just liked walking around going to everything. Like, oh, where are you from? America.
And then you say, you tagged it up.
With.
And you're like, you know which one I'm talking
about. Yeah. Oh, yeah. 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 Yes. Oh, yeah. That is a good joke.
Yeah.
I'm from America. They don't ever go, which one? They know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
North or South?
Yeah. No one from South America goes, I'm from America.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
And Canada doesn't do it either. They're from North America.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, we make them do their, but we're the ones that go, you know what's up.
Yeah.
You know where I'm from.
Yeah, we took the whole thing. Mm-hmm. There's North America, South America, but we're like, we're the United States of America.
Yeah.
Yeah. Technically a Peruvian guy's from America.
Well.
Chilean guy.
He knows how to bring the fun out of it. That's what Joe does.
I was like, I don't know what
he's
saying.
He's a squasher of a good time. Yeah. Go ahead, Joe. Bring it back down.
A guy from Peru. That's all I'm saying. It's a country.
You were like, technically a Peruvian guy's from America. And I'm like, what does that mean? Is Peru what does that in mean? America? Is Peru
Peru's
a state?
In South America. Right next to Brazil.
Oh, that's what we named it after.
What we named what
America the guy we named it after America Stevenson.
Amerigo Vespucci.
America's Vespucci.
I like that though. America Stevenson. I like that.
His dad's name was Steven.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who's your son? My son's America. He's the one they named it.
Yeah.
Oh.
I don't think any of you knew Peru is a country.
Well, the way you said it, you're like, a Peruvian guy's from America. And I'm like, I don't know what he's saying.
I was trying to follow the same point y'all were making.
Yeah, but you don't bring your college stuff.
Too much. Yeah, too much knowledge.
That's a good point.
he went to MTSU, but that was in the 70s.
We had Discover Peru yet.
Yeah, because, he hasn't learned about it because your history.
MTSU?
Yeah.
Montana State University.
Yeah, that's where he went.
Yeah.
He looks like a guy that travels a lot, Brian. That would move that far from his home. Middle Tennessee State.
Oh, okay.
I was about to give you the Tennessee.
We played them in college golf. Wow. Nice work.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Well, anyway, it was named after Amerigo Vespucci instead of Columbus because Columbus didn't know what he discovered. And this guy was the first one that realized this isn't India. And then there was a map maker who was they're called cartographers, I think. And he made a map and he wrote where that land was, America. And from then on, it was called America.
I love that Columbus just got some cities. He's credited with discovering the whole thing, and he just got some cities in Georgia and Ohio.
Yeah.
Probably some more.
Yeah. Columbus, Ohio is very known.
Solid. I like it a lot. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Solid city.
When the map people, but they would just like kind of be drawing it as it goes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't believe the map people.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah.
I don't believe that you're able to be like, nah, this is how it looks.
Yeah.
Like, even now,
it's a general idea.
Even now,
that's a good conspiracy. I like
that. I was about to say, it's amazing how well they do, but you're making a point. Well, they don't.
They're just like, yeah, this is the shape of it. And we go, well, we don't have a, we can't show you're wrong. So,
but then satellite image show that it's that?
Well,
wow.
But airplanes could fly over.
Yeah, but how high? Can you look down on Florida from way up and be like, oh, that's the shape?
Yeah. I think when you drive down Florida, it feels like that shape.
It does feel like it.
Yeah.
I think there's also professionals that surveil stuff. They have those little surveil things.
Surveyors?
Survey.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Do you know how to say that word?
And they use those little triangle things to figure out all the lines, but I don't know how they do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think it's amazing they figure out how to do it, but.
But I mean, but a map guy a long time ago, what's he doing?
I mean, I guess they come back with information and he just takes what he's learned and puts it.
Do they just say he's just in a boat? Just rides along the land and he just goes and holds a straight line. And then he's like, dip, back up. And then, I mean, it's just a slow.
Yeah, I mean, drawing a map back then, I mean, that is some real work.
Yeah.
You just measuring along the whole way.
I mean, I bet when you're doing it back then, you also know no one knows.
Yeah.
That's true.
And so you're just doing a little like, probably.
You want to go to lunch. I'll do this in 5 minutes. Yeah.
You could probably find some old maps that were very phoned in.
Well, they were. Yeah. The one that has America first written on it, you can see an image of it. I mean, they weren't even close to what it looked like. But,
yeah. Just a circle.
I'm just guessing.
I would just do a circle. He just goes.
Yeah.
He goes, wow, it's circular? He goes, yeah. Whip around it. He goes, give or take, but... Just do a couple, like, draw like a Pac-Man.
Yeah, basically, it's all, everything's a circle.
Yeah,
you some draw stuff off of it.
Do draw Pac-Man.
Yeah.
Then you'd be like, wow, so it's like an island. You go, it's a big island.
Turtle Island. That's what some people say the Earth is. Turtle Island. I think so. The old stuff they would call, what do they call it? No, they call it America Turtle Island.
What does that mean?
Yeah, what does that mean?
I don't know. Have you not heard that?
No.
I'm guessing not, right?
Mm-mm. I don't know if we'd look at the same internet.
Well, let's see. Yeah, Turtle Island, indigenous North America folklore.
Hmm.
Huh. That's just what they called it.
Yeah, Turtle Island is a name for Earth or North America used by some indigenous peoples.
Yeah, but why? We got to get the next sentence.
Oh, okay. Well, I usually just do headlines.
Yeah. I think we read enough, Joe.
Well, anyway.
I mean, I think it fits in with what we're talking about here. I mean.
Because we look like a turtle.
Yeah. Turtle, yeah. I mean, yeah, you can look it up on your own time, really. But
yeah.
But I just wanted to make sure that I wasn't crazy here. And I did hear that.
Yeah.
Turtle Island, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think this is pretty amazing, too. In 1503, Columbus and his men got stranded in Jamaica. And the natives refused to... after a while, to keep feeding them and helping them out. Columbus had a book of astronomy that showed when the next eclipse was about to be. It was about to happen. So he told them that his God was mad at them for not helping them, and the moon was going to get blacked out. And then, of course, the eclipse happened, and they all freaked out. And they're like, here, take whatever you want. Just don't.
Wow. He said that to?
To the Jamaicans.
Yeah.
Or whatever they were called then.
Mm-hmm.
That's a power move. Was he a Taurus, I wonder?
That's a low blow.
But it's amazing, even 1500s, they knew when an eclipse was going
to
happen.
I'm amazed they figured out how to communicate different languages to each other.
I learned that when the pilgrims landed at Plymouth Rock, one of the first Native Americans that greeted them in English.
You know what? May 20th, he is a Taurus.
Oh, really?
That's when
crazy.
He died.
Isn't that crazy?
That's crazy.
And asked for a beer.
Wow. That is...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
Yeah, how would they even? I guess there's like culture, you know.
Well, the pilgrims came over in like the 1600s.
He was born. They don't even know when he was born.
Yeah, roundabout.
Roundabout August 25th and October 31st. Imagine they know his day he died, but.
Well, he was popular then.
Yeah, at 54. But when they go to his, well, when were you born? And they're like, I don't know, we'll give you like a month.
Yeah.
Like, we don't know exactly.
Yeah.
Maybe they didn't do birthdays.
I appreciate them being honest.
Who, Wikipedia?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's nice of them.
So, I mean, it was a long time ago. We talked about this before. They thought mermaids were real, and Columbus thought he saw some, but they were actually manatees.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
There is conspiracy around that. I call them sirens. You know, like where the like people at sea for so long would think that they would see these women in the water, these really attractive women, and they would like be calling to them, so men would dive overboard. To go, and then they would just eat them up.
Yeah, they had to tie them to a pole or whatever to keep them from jumping in. Yeah.
The manatees?
Well, whatever it was in there, yeah.
Oh, like they were just losing their mind out on the ocean.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, 2.5 months of just,
yeah,
you know, I mean, just a brutal.
Whales make some crazy sounds. I just learned that they used to think whale clicking and the whale songs were ghosts. They were super freaked out by whales.
I can see that.
Yeah. Underneath, do you hear them above water?
Yeah, apparently they're making sounds way below. And there's one, I think it's a sperm whale, does a clicking. But then the other whales, you know, they do their songs. And they didn't know those were whales. They thought it was ghosts in the sea.
I mean, Imagine being on a ship with no engine. It's all wind.
Yeah.
The middle of the night, just darkness all around. You hear everything. Oh, man, that'd be terrifying.
Yeah. And you hear everything.
Like in Castaway, Tom Hanks was out at sea and there was a whale making
noises. I've not seen it in a long time.
Well, that whale comes up and breathes.
Mm-hmm. But it was making sounds. And then eventually he thinks it's still the whale. The movie makes you think it's still the whale, but it was a ship that was blowing a horn.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I mean, the ocean
kind of blew that whole.
I'm just waiting on somebody.
Watched Castaway.
Oh, yeah. Great movie. Volleyball. Yeah.
You just told the main thing.
Good volleyball
movie. Yeah, that is the main thing.
That is the main thing.
I wasn't listening, so I'm still good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ponce de Leon, I hope I'm saying that right, he was searching for the Fountain of Youth. He was told there was a fountain that if you could find, you could dip in it and be young, I guess, forever. And he thought it was in Florida. Mm-hmm.
That's where you go to be old forever. Am I right?
Yeah.
We do fist bumps around here, Joe.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm learning.
Yeah.
That's good.
So he searched all over Florida, supposedly in St. Augustine, Florida.
That's where they say it is now. Yeah. People still go there now.
Well, in St. Augustine, they have a Fountain of Youth archaeological park. And they say because they think that's where the legend is that it was at, but no one's ever found it.
Did you ever see the movie Cocoon? You remember that?
I do remember the movie. I've not seen
it. That's about, you know, they have these alien pods and they put them in the swimming pool and it's at a retirement home, and when the old people swim in the pool, it makes them young again. They're starting to, like, not physically young, but they start to be vibrant. It's a great movie.
Yeah,
I don't want to give it away, but it's a good movie.
I'm going to go watch that. I'm going to go watch that tonight.
That was a famous.
Wilford Brimley's in it. That was his big movie.
Yeah.
And I've talked about the Wilford Brimley Cocoon line, which is he was much younger in that movie than he actually looked.
Oh, yeah.
And now there's a whole thing where to see if you've crossed it. I think I'm the only one at this table that's crossed it, but you're not far from it.
What was it?
He was like 49 or whatever when he made that movie or something.
Yeah.
Maybe not that young, but he was a lot younger than you would think. Playing an old man in the movie. So now every time it started off with like celebrities, but anybody that crosses the Wilford Brimley Cocoon line, you can go on there. And
he was 50 years old in Cocoon and he looked like this.
He looked like that.
Yeah.
Wow.
But he looked like that 20 years later too.
Yeah.
How did he look like that? A lot of sun, a lot of smoking.
I think he had diabetes. Hmm. He's famous for saying it like that. Diabetes. Yeah. He's diabetes. The only one that says it. There's a commercial that I found the other day.
Yeah, I got the diabetes.
Where like it's the same commercial. One guy's saying diabetes. He's saying diabetes. Same
yeah.
commercial.
Yeah. Diabetes. That's that diabetes sounds like it's unfortunate you got it. You got like bit by something.
Mm-hmm.
Diabetes sounds, you know, yeah.
I worry about that stuff, but.
Oh, all right. He died.
Yeah, just recently.
Oh, really?
I mean, last couple
2020.
Of years.
2020.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I, you know what I do? ZocDoc.
Oh, yeah.
You can now find and book in-person or telemedicine appointments for medical or dental care.
Mm.
That's helpful for people. I think he was trying to convert them to Christianity, and they didn't like it, and they got in a fight and killed him.
Mm.
Most of his men did not make it, but
it sounds like a hoax to me.
18 of them made it. Well, I don't know, but he made it. I mean, the Straits of Magellan, which in South America you can go through, that separates Atlantic Ocean and Pacific Ocean, named after him. He named the Pacific Ocean. He called it Pacifico, which means peaceful.
Mm. I wonder if he changed his mind after the way it ended.
But can you imagine sailing all the way around the world and then finally making it, and your friends are still looking the other way for you, and then you come back around and surprise them? I mean, that's a pretty amazing thing.
Wait, that's what he did?
Well, his people went all the way around the world.
Yeah.
So they started going one way and then came around the other way.
Yeah.
It's just think about it. They never done that before. Just,
yeah.
You don't even know for sure.
And so Magellan was trying to do that.
Yeah.
And then he didn't make it.
He almost got all the way, yeah. But his men, his crew did, yeah. Some of them did make it.
Yeah.
First crew.
Yeah, like they left New York and then came back to California. Like that.
Essentially. Yeah.
Yeah. Not here, I'm saying, but that's what I'm doing. I'm from America.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm using America.
Like you left New York and went like east? And then come back around and stop.
If you went to go travel the world, you would get a boat from New York and then you would land back in California and you go in a circle.
Okay. Yeah.
Is that not the same thing?
Yeah. I mean, he went the other direction, but and stopped. I think he got right back to the stop to the city he started in. But yeah.
Well, that would be, I feel like.
If you live in a real thin country.
Yeah. Yeah. I know he's coming in from the other way.
Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, if you go. You know, if you were a real dead end, left, right, all right, he's leaving left,
mm-hmm.
and then he comes in right to the same city.
Dusty as a flat earther, how do you feel about it?
Well, I never claim that. I talk about things, and people make assumptions about me, but I never claim that. But all it is there's magnetic north, and then you just travel east and you just go, you make your way in a circle. If you believe that sort of thing,
yeah,
you would just make your way around in a circle. So you're still going east because there's magnetic north in the center. So north would still be towards the center.
Mm-hmm.
And then you would just go east. You would follow your compass or compass, as you guys say.
He says
and
compass.
Compass. You would follow that east and it would take you in a complete circle.
So if you've heard about it, but so if it's flat, then what do those people believe all the other planets are?
Well, there's, you know, they're stars. They're wandering stars because space is not real.
Okay. But, but how?
Hypothetically.
I mean,
but how do you believe it's not real if you're looking at it?
Well, you just look up at a canopy of stars.
Yeah.
You're not. Yeah, you know, movies has made you believe that there's space out there.
And no, I can see it though.
You can see a sheet with lights coming at you. You believe that you could soar through there in a spaceship.
And ships have soared through there.
They, as the so-called.
Yeah.
I mean, have you seen moon landing footage? I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Well, I've seen Mars landing footage and Voyager sailing out to the outer edges of our solar system. There's footage of that.
Well, there's stuff out there. I mean, I'll give you that. There is some stuff out there.
Yeah.
And it is believable. I get it. I mean, it is hard to look at it and go. But I'm not saying I believe those things. I'm just saying. I'm taking a point of view here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just trying to have fun.
Yeah. I'm not, you know, people love to say, I believe the earth is flat. I'm just saying, hey, I'm just pointing out some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know.
That hypothetically, if you believed, is maybe what you would say.
Yeah. I mean, well, that would be the explanation
okay.
for traveling circle. And then like, as far as space goes, it's like, you know, people always say, find me a, you know, something of space that's not from NASA, you know, and it's like.
Well, you'd have to go to the Asia astronauts or the Russian astronauts.
Yeah. So, you know, you trust who you want to trust. You know what I mean?
Well, they,
if you trust Russia, I mean, that's on you. You know what I mean?
Well, I trust NASA.
Yeah.
Which is not Russia.
Right. But it's like, can you find, you know, it's like, why don't they let us, you know, just explore space on our own?
Because we don't have the means.
Well, me I don't mean me and you, but there's people that do.
Well, yeah. And Jeff Bezos, Elon Musk.
Yeah, but Jeff Bezos launched a ship and it went real high and then it came down and they got out and everybody went, oh, you did it. But they didn't really.
These are the new explorers.
Yeah.
Modern day explorers. Mm-hmm.
And they're trying. You know what I mean? They're putting a good effort out there.
You can only go as high as the net will let you.
Richard, exactly. Richard Branson's the third one, right? They're building spaceships.
Yeah. And I hope they do it. I really do. You know, but. You know, we already have. We all know that. This is just a bit.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're just having a good time here.
Yeah.
I'm having a great time.
Did you guys know they just discovered an eighth continent?
Really?
This just happened.
Wow.
So there was a guy named Abel Tasman. He was a Dutch explorer, and he discovered New Zealand and Tasmania. Tasmania was named after him. And he'd heard about this continent that was... an eighth continent was down there, and he traveled there, and all he could find was the islands of New Zealand and Tasmania. Turns out it was all 95% of it was underwater, and they just found recently like that this continent's underwater. It's called Zealandia.
Oh, next to Australia.
And
does it count? It counts. Does it count if it's underwater?
I don't know if
I think the whole point of a continent is above water. That's just my
opinion. This Atlantis?
Well, some people think it may be what they thought was Atlantis.
Oh, that's exciting.
But New Zealand is about the only part that's actually sticking out from underwater. But they just mapped this, like, recently. And so I don't know if it's going to go in the textbooks as a eighth continent, but...
So if you've been in New Zealand, does that count as a new continent?
I guess it does. Congratulations, yeah, guys.
We did two continents.
We did two continents.
Nice work.
I wish we could have.
We've been to the eighth continent.
Whoa, not many people can say that.
No.
Not many people even know about
that's
it.
Big time.
I think we should have voted on the name of this, though.
Zealandia?
Yeah, I don't like that. That's not a fun continent name.
Yeah.
Is it from New Zealand?
It could grow on me.
Well, imagine if you're New Zealand, and then now it's like everybody's just talking about Zealandia, and you're like, all right, dude, we're actually living here.
Yeah, we've been here the whole time.
New Zealand, you are out there. When you're there, it feels like you're
in a different world.
See, this is what I'm saying. Let's put our energy into this. Let's build underwater city on top of Zealandia.
Oh, okay.
On top of this land. That's what I'm all about.
Which country gets to build it?
I would think New Zealand.
I like it.
We'll get some funding from around the
world. An underwater city.
Yeah.
Instead of going to space.
Yes. Yeah.
Let's underwater. Explore the
ocean. I agree. We should be living in the ocean before we should be living in space.
You're saying that, you know, you saw them land on Mars, but yet we can't even explore all the oceans.
Yeah.
It's like, let's dig around our own home here before trying to venture out.
Yeah. Elon Musk should be putting his money into the bottom of the ocean.
Yeah. Richard Branson. Like, let's see what's going on down there.
Because no matter what, we're scared of our land falling apart, but the water.
Right.
They're also afraid of the water falling apart.
Where's it going to go?
They're afraid of the water being polluted.
Yeah, but you're
full of plastic, right?
Yeah, but you're not swimming in the water. You would be in a
little tube.
Dome.
Yeah.
I like
you'd be
that.
In a tube.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really matter.
Now, somebody arguing against you could be like, why not just do a dome above ground?
Well,
that's fine, but that, you know, you're not creating new land.
Yeah,
land. I like this. Okay, I'm on board. New land.
Yeah. And you just go and walk around. Maybe we have a suit on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You just build pressurized.
How would you eat?
Well, I bet you could grow.
Fish. Grubhub. You could grow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You grow and you build a world down there.
DoorDash.
And then the whole world is underwater.
Yeah.
Eventually. So the way we started going above water, then we just started heading.
Yeah. Like if you're born in one of the underwater cities and you're like, you're like the Little Mermaid, you dream of one day going on land. Yeah.
Well, that was like Kevin Costner's movie, right? Waterworld?
A little bit, but I like that movie okay.
Yeah.
People seem to hate it. I
like that movie way better than it got like a 30% on Rotten Tomatoes. And yeah. I thought it was at least a 74.
Yeah, I didn't like that he had like gills behind his ears or whatever, but
like to you would like adapt to that. Yeah. Yeah.
You're gonna need some AG1.
That is true. Our next partner is AG1. All of us are trying to take AG1 every day. We all gave AG1 a try because we wanted increased energy and immune system support for our busy lifestyles. We like to take AG1 in the morning before starting the day, and it makes us feel like we're doing something good to cover all our nutritional bases. It's much easier to mix one scoop of powder in water once a day than to take a bunch of different things. It is the help.
Why don't we just throw our trash in space?
Yeah, we've talked about that on here.
Said that, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But you could argue, let's just keep doing it in the ocean and then let's move to space.
Right.
If we're already doing so much in the ocean already.
Yeah.
Then it's like, let's just go to space and we just keep dumping it in the.
The space is a much bigger ocean. Yeah. I guess it's just how much energy it takes to get the trash.
Kind of same thing. Can't breathe.
Yeah.
Float.
Yeah.
There's no life up there as far as we know.
I mean, some people, crazy people, even think that when they film space things, it's happening underwater because the conditions are so similar. Obviously, these people are nuts, but
yes,
it is similar in that's how they will practice for space, underwater.
Yeah.
And that is true. They will practice underwater because, you know, it's, you know, not a lot of gravity, can't breathe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you gotta.
Yeah, we should do. I started watching The Meg 2.
That movie's huge in Asia.
Yeah.
The biggest movie in Asia.
You and I saw the first one together.
Oh, I loved it.
Is it good?
Yeah, it's just fun.
Your complaint about Statham. The first one was the whale or shark wasn't big enough.
I think it could have been bigger. I think they can always be bigger.
I think I heard that movie was funded by the Chinese government.
Meg?
Yeah.
I could see that for sure.
Yeah, that's why they were pushing it so hard.
Oh, well, you can totally see that. Nice. And the second one probably too.
Yeah. I like that you, now say, that you say that. You started the second one. Yeah, like it's like an epic adventure.
Yeah. I haven't gotten through it. Yeah. I did half and then I was tired. But it's fun. Big
it's like
sharks.
A modern day Jaws.
I mean, extreme version. Yeah. You know, we watched Jaws recently, and that's like, it's the extreme version. It's just a big shark. It's just fun to think about those.
Is this Jason Statham
in
those movies?
Yeah. Yep. And he fights him and gets his family back.
Oh, I love that. I like Jason Statham so much.
Yeah.
He's the best.
He does it. Yeah. Just fights him and kicks the sharks.
Does he kick the sharks with his foot?
Maybe.
I would think so.
I think so.
It's almost a waste if Jason Statham's not kicking.
That's so perfect.
I watched one movie with Jason Statham that wasn't like I was hoping it'd be like the kicking, and it wasn't. And that was a tough one.
The movie Snatch, you know, he was in that as not a fighting role.
Yeah.
And that movie was about fighting.
Yeah. But he was good in that.
He was great in it.
Yeah. But another one, like it was. Yeah, you just want him to be. He's just super fun.
Is that the one where Brad Pitt was the fighter?
Yeah.
Oh, that was my favorite Brad Pitt.
It's such
role.
A good movie.
How's Liam Neeson? Brad Pitt's great. Yeah. How's Liam Neeson? He still does those fighting scenes.
Yeah.
You can do them. It's pretty crazy. You can do them late. Like even The Equalizer 3's out.
Oh, you see how old is Liam Neeson?
Yeah. 71. Dude.
It's time for him to pass the torch, though. Who's the next great actor that's going to turn action?
So I was. Action star. That what needs to be there are some good guys, but they need to click like Matt Damon with The Bourne, like he can be, but I just don't know if they want to do it. When did he start being an action star like that?
I think it was after Batman.
It was after Love Actually, 2001.
The first Batman, Batman Begins.
That was all the information.
Wow. Oh, Star Wars too. The first one of the Star Wars prequels, he was a bit of an action guy.
Oh, but I mean, so Taken was the first.
Taken was what?
So how old was he when he did Taken?
He was probably 50.
If it was around 2005, then he'd be, 53.
Yeah. 56. So you were wrong, Joe.
Mm.
It's embarrassing.
He invented his career as an action star.
So I could still be an action star. Because I wasn't sprung, but I didn't really.
Yes. Play you, action role. You played a guy that would be an action because you were a serial killer.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. If Greg does a spinoff.
Have you done any stage fighting classes?
No, but I still could. I mean,
yeah,
not too late.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't think Bates is not one that you're going to really know he's behind it, but he's behind it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like The Usual Suspects. I'm going to be the guy at the end that.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, Kaiser Sose.
Yeah.
You're the Kaiser. He's the Kaiser Sose. He's the true brains behind this podcast. And Nate Lane?
Well, I think that's a given.
Yeah. He is. He's the one that puts all this together.
Well, that'd be cool if you turn out to be the real brains behind it.
Liam Neeson, though.
He is the, I mean, he puts all this stuff together.
Liam Neeson.
I'm the talent.
Yeah.
Oh.
I'd never heard of
I'm joking.
Liam Neeson until Schindler's List. And he must have been in his 40s then.
Yeah, I think he was like a great stage actor in his, 20s and 30s.
It's weird to discover Liam Neeson and Taken and then go watch the movie Love Actually. I'm like, what's going on here?
what I mean? Just crying with his little boy.
Yeah, I'm like, what?
Yeah, I don't know if I could do that.
His scene in that Ricky Gervais, Steve Merchant show where he wants to become a comedian.
Yeah. Oh, so great.
It's one of the
improv scene? Scene.
Yeah. It's great.
I don't know. You have to watch it.
Yeah, it's very funny.
Well, anyways, they are searching the sea. There's people. James Cameron's doing a lot of stuff to.
Yeah, they just went down there. That one thing went real bad for those guys.
Yeah.
They went down.
Oh, yeah.
Meg, too, they're searching the bottom of the sea.
Because there's creatures probably down there we don't even know about.
One guy on some National Geographic thing, he was talking about they went so deep and it looked like there was a beach underwater and they tried to go down and the water was so so much salt content, whatever you would say, there was so thick they couldn't go down further. They were bouncing, but it was like there were shells and stuff, and it was like this water was running up on the beach.
Really?
I saw that on something. Wow. But
TikTok.
Yeah, but it was from a National Geographic type thing. Yeah. So it's like it's just wild what's down there.
Yeah.
That's why I'm saying, like, let's do the ocean.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was from one of your propaganda channels. So,
yeah. So, so we can believe it.
So you can believe it.
Yeah.
Okay. That's great.
I'm joking. That would be National Geographic, though. If you were a conspiracy, you'd be like, this is right up your alley.
Right.
You believe everything they say.
I do.
Yeah.
Usually, Aaron with his Notre Dame degree is the guy, but you filling in for him is a Davidson alumni is the educated one.
I've heard him on this podcast. He's definitely smarter than me. He knows a lot of facts.
Yeah,
you know a lot of stuff though.
I've just surprised myself everything I've said.
Yeah.
So
you really
I think there's gonna be a lot of
fact
checkers listening that are like, what Joe said was a little bit off there.
Yeah.
I suspect.
I could see that.
Well, hopefully our back and forth will deflect from any of that and it'll all come back on me.
Yeah.
Have you been getting some flack for saying you don't believe in space?
Yeah, but I'm not saying I don't believe it.
Just having
Let's double down on it again.
We're just having it was just being silly and fun.
I like to talk about it. I think it's fun, but some people do not find it to be fun.
Yeah.
The funny thing is the way they defend Dusty, because they'll be like, this guy, some people want to dump Dusty, and then people defend him.
Very few people,
yeah.
By the way.
Yeah. Very few people. But then
the super pro science crowd or something?
No, I wouldn't even call them that.
But then everyone will come
to regular people.
Yeah, they'll come to Dusty's defense. But then they'll be like, look, I find his viewpoints crazy too, but we really love Dusty and we want to, it's so funny how they always say, I think it's wild myself, but he's a fun guy.
Yeah, I mean, isn't it boring if we all believe the same things?
If we all believe the same thing.
I believe that.
I think it's boring.
If we all believe the same thing, we'd be brainwashed.
Yeah, we got to spice it up a
Your
bit,
Patrice O'Neill thing just came up again on a podcast.
Really?
Somebody brought it up. I forgot whose it was, but they told the story about Patrice O'Neill and you and dinosaurs.
Yeah.
And a few people have sent it and said, hey, Nate just got mentioned again. That story.
Really?
Yeah.
Where was it?
I'll find out. Yeah. I forgot.
All right. Yeah. Is that it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we got to go. Well,
yeah, yeah. Yeah, I got to go into a little softball game. Last softball game.
Ooh.
For Harper's team. Right.
Nice.
Last of the season.
Yeah.
She's a catcher. I was a catcher. So it's very exciting.
That's awesome.
Very fun stuff. All right. This week, Showcase is out. Showcase is out. Go to Nate Land YouTube, and you can see the Showcase. You see Joe Zimmerman's special, the cult classic. Awesome, awesome things to watch. This is all the very beginning of what we're trying to start at the Nate Land Company. And, you know, yeah, you guys are gracious being a part of it and seeing all this stuff. And we continue to try to put out whatever we can, or, you know, do the best we can do. I will be on the road. Yeah, Portland, Radio City. I mean, you know, it's everywhere. So you can go check that stuff out.
October 27th and 28th, I'm at Hyenas Comedy Club in Dallas and Fort Worth. Two nights in Dallas, October 27th. I mean, sorry, two shows in Dallas, October 27th. Two shows in Fort Worth on the 28th. Please come.
This weekend, I'm going to be in Syracuse, New York at the Funny Bone. And I don't usually sell a lot of tickets there, but I go every year and it's so much fun. Mm. So do come, because it's going to be great. I have a lot of fun there. And I probably shouldn't tell people I don't normally sell a lot of tickets there, but I'm just saying, do come, because it's going to be great.
I'll be at the Acme Comedy Club in Minneapolis headlining October 25 to 28.
Oh.
Minneapolis, I'd love it if you came. And then I'll be back with Nate in Las Vegas. November 11 and 12. That'll be very fun.
Yeah.
And then I'm all over these little towns around the Midwest the next 3 weeks, which you can find on my website. But mostly just, I want you to check out the special Cult Classic. On
Cult Classic.
It's free.
It's great.
Nate directed.
It's free. It's great.
You know what? And since this is a Columbus episode, in 2 weeks, I'll be at the Columbus Funny Bone.
I was born in Columbus.
And I'm excited to be there. So come see me.
That's one of the best clubs.
I love that club.
Yeah.
I love them all. You know, I love Syracuse. I love Columbus. It's going to be great. I love the people. Everything's wonderful.
Everything's wonderful. All right.
Well, you don't have to end with a lie, Dusty. Yeah. You just turned that into propaganda.
Yeah.
Well, I keep you guessing. You know what I mean?
You don't know what's going on. All right. As always, we love you. Hope to see you out. And yeah, we love you. See you next week. Bye. Nate Land is produced by Nate Land Productions and by me, Nate Bargatze, and my wife, Laura, on the Audio Boom platform. Recording and editing for the show is done by Genovations Media. Thanks for tuning in. Be sure to catch us next week on the Nate Land Podcast.